Like I say, we appreciate the privilege to be here today. Appreciate what our heart's been made to feel. Appreciate the singing. Appreciate the song we just heard. Wonderful song, beautiful song. Got a great meaning in it. Glad to have you that are here today.
Amen.
Appreciate you being here. Appreciate all the mothers. You pray for us. Don't know altogether what we'll do. We're going to read you a little scripture this morning. If you want to read with us out of the book of Ephesians, the 5th chapter. Here Wednesday night, and I'm on the way home, I was thinking about what I preached, and I told the Lord, I said, Lord, that'd be a good Mother's Day message. Now what we're going to do. So you pray for us. I don't really. I don't really try to get a message for the occasion. Sometimes we can, sometimes we can't. So we've got what we have, so you just bear with us. I'm going to read a verse before I get into the 5th chapter. We do need your prayers. It takes something for me and you to surrender all. No matter what the circumstance. And Susan said it a while ago that you have to, doesn't matter what you're facing, you just have to give it all to it. Well, preacher, I hate to do this and I hate to do, you know, I'm guilty, very guilty. I won't even ask prayer requests a lot of times because there's much others that's got more than we've got. More situations. Brother Crafton said it. We've got a lost world.
Yeah.
And I'm not gonna rehash what I got into the other Wednesday night. About who the mother was.
Yeah.
And how she ought to be. We're going to read you some out of the 5th chapter. And I'm going to read one verse before I start. And we're going to read out of the 5th chapter about starting with the 20th verse. I'm going to read a verse prior to that. It says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness.
Amen.
In high places.
Yeah.
20th verse, 5th chapter says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning the church, Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Now, maybe correctly reading, that's reading a few verses out of the 5th chapter of the book of Ephesians. Nothing new, hadn't got anything new. Got a little bit of a thought, and it really and truly, this is what the scripture that he was leading to was that of Christ and the church. He said, this is a great mystery. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Now, I'm going to back up a few verses and tell you those things that he made mention of was concerning a husband and a wife. The things that a husband ought to do and things that a wife ought to do. This is Mother's Day. I understand that. And I understand that a lot of times we don't want to hear certain things, but the truth of it is that there's some vital things in this scripture that teaches us about husbands and wives. It most certainly does. Now, the husband, he said, was the head of the wife. Is that not what he said? Even as Christ is the head of the church and is the Savior of the body. Now, Christ, we think, you say, preacher, I don't know about all that. He puts Christ as head of the church, which is the body. And he said, and he gave himself for it. He gave himself for it. Now, I wondered this morning, my friend, how many of us men love our wives to the point we'd give ourselves for them. You say, preacher, you don't ask that question. That's what he says. That's what he's talking about. And there's things in the Word of God that teaches us, brethren, that the husband ought to love his wife and reverence her, and that the wife should reverence her husband. The scripture says that Sarah honored that of Abraham in calling him Lord. She reverenced him, brethren, as the head of her household. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. You say, preacher, it's Mother's Day. Don't you get to preaching, my friend, on us men. Well, the truth of it is, the downfall of a lot of groups, the downfall of a lot of households, brethren, and the downfall of a lot of nations is because the head will not take responsibility for that he's supposed to. Just a normal procedure, my friend, of being the head of the body. Christ is head of the church. And brethren, the church is the mother of us all. If you've been born again, she's the mother. Crafton said something a while ago that the mother has got to get in travail. You read it all down through the ages. I've got somewhere I'm headed this morning. You just bear with us. I might not want to preach altogether what I've got, but I'm going to try my best to keep my thoughts out of the way and bring you and deliver you what God's Word teaches. The Bible says back in the olden days, you'll find a time, my friend, that Esau and Jacob was coming up. They were twins, as we call them. And the scripture says that Esau, if you'll find, he stuck his arm out, I believe it is, but he drawed it back. And Esau come out first. But Jacob laid hold of the heel of Esau and came out. And as custom was, the brethren, that of Esau was to have the blessing from his father Isaac. Yes, he was. That's how it was. You handed it down to the oldest, the eldest. Well, the eldest one day got out in the field and had no venison, had nothing. And the Bible says that Jacob sowed pottage. I've got a point. I've got to pray. Get on some of this before I get there. Now listen, he sowed pottage. Esau come home, my friend, and Rebekah being privy to it, she knowed what went on. And Esau said, give me some of the pottage. And Jacob said, I'll give it to you for your birthright. Yes, sir. Esau began to think, what good is my birthright if I die? I ain't got nothing to eat. He's got pottage. I'll sell him my birthright. He done it. Rebekah was privy to it. In other words, she was there and heard what went on. Years passed. It come down time, my friend, to get the blessing, and Isaac told Esau to go out and get the venison and prepare it. I can get in big trouble on some of this, but it doesn't really matter. My friend, the Bible said that Rebekah got Jacob and she dressed him up. Did she not? Isaac's eyes was dim. The Bible said that it brought Jacob around and asked him, was his son? He said, I am your son. He looked home, got a hold of his hands, got a hold of his neck. He said, it's the body or the flesh of Esau, but it's the voice of Jacob.
Amen.
Yes, sir. You can't fool, my friend. You can't fool. I don't care how you disguise. You cannot fool the Lord this morning.
Amen.
It don't work. It don't work today. There's people that's hiding behind everything in the world calling themselves Christians. I've said it for years and years on end, and brethren, if it ain't multiplied and produced, I'm not standing here this morning. We'll put God in a song and call it a Christian song. God help us. Some of them is filthy and wicked and got no substance in them. It's appealing. Appealing to the flesh and to the carnal mind. Listen, while I'm on it, I'm just going to preach the rest of it. My friend, I drive and I look around as I drive. We got churches on every corner. And brethren, I see more and more liquor stores going up in this world, my friend. And this world is drunk on themselves.
Amen.
The Bible says, be not drunken with wine wherein is excess, but be ye what? Filled with the Holy Ghost, my friend. This world don't know what the Spirit is. No, they don't. They don't know what the Spirit is. Anyway, the blessing went on. Isaac blessed Jacob. Here come Esau. Esau, he went in and said, I've got the blessing. And Isaac said, oh no. He said, I've already given the blessing.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Esau cried out, said, you got nothing for me? Got no blessing for me? The scripture says that Isaac told Jacob in the presence of Esau, he said, don't you take a wife of the Canaanites, but you go down to your mother's father's land and get you a wife there. You listen to me. Believe it or not, I'm talking about mothers. I've just got to get a long way around there. But I'm headed there. I want you to think about, my friend, I preached Wednesday night about love. I preached on John 3:16, how God so loved the world. What did the song just say that we heard? He said, I give myself for you. I give myself for you. Think about it. Brethren, he gave all. Went all the way. Not just to the cross. Brethren, he went and raised and went right back to the Father.
Amen.
Hallelujah. He completed his task, my friend. We wouldn't have life. We wouldn't have salvation without what Jesus done.
Amen.
He accomplished it. Yes, he did. Now, let me run on. The Bible says that the first thing that Esau done was go out and marry one of the women, my friend, that Isaac told Jacob not to.
Yeah.
Very first thing.
Yeah.
He most certainly did. Now listen, I ain't going to get into that. You wonder about Esau, you say, preacher, why? I'm going to tell you why God blessed him. God blessed him because he come out of the loins of Isaac. And brethren, Isaac was the seed of promise. And he blessed Esau. Yes, he did, as well as Isaac. Jacob. I'll get them right. There's too many of them. Listen. You say, preacher, I'm going to tell you something. Things don't come to me as quick as they used to. I would to God, my friend, that I could just remember things like I used to. Can't do it. Don't know why, but I just can't do it. Jacob, you know what Jacob done? He done exactly like his father Isaac told him. He went down into the land. He went down to his mother's father's land, and his mother's father was named Laban. Yes, sir. He wound up down there. You know where he wound up? He wound up at Jacob's well. That's what it began called later. Yes, sir. That's where he wound. He got down there. And he got to talking to some of them. They said, I'm a son of Rebekah, Laban's daughter. Yeah. They begin to tell, they said, if you'll wait right here, said Laban's daughter will come with the sheep. Bible says Rachel kept her father's sheep. Yes, sir. She kept it. A lot of people don't think women done anything in the Old Testament. Women took care of a lot of things. I ain't going to get into that. Don't get me. Don't get me. There's things. My friend Jacob, the Bible said, he laid eyes upon Rachel and he loved her. Yeah. From the get-go. Yeah. Yes, sir. These things, my friend, I ain't going to get into all that, but I'm going to get into some of it. I want you to realize, my friend, that this woman that Jacob loved, that he went down to Laban and talked to her, and they agreed that he could work 7 years and he'd receive Rachel. Yeah. The Bible says that he loved her so much that it seemed like them 7 years was nothing. Just passed. It come time to receive that of Rachel, and Laban give him Leah. Yeah. Yes, sir. To wife. Jacob got up the next day and he went to Laban. And he said, not so. Not so. Laban said, it's not the custom to give the younger daughter. Said, you got to get the elder before you get the younger. Yeah. Went on and told Jacob. He said, Jacob said, you work 7 more years. And he said, I'll give you Rachel. But he said, fulfill Leah's week.
Yeah.
That's what it says. Goes on, my friend. And the scripture says, listen, that Jacob loved Rachel. Leah began to have children and Rachel had none. You can go and read it for yourself. Leah, my friend, thought every time she had a child, she says, now Jacob will love me. Never did. Now, I ain't going to get into all that. He loved Rachel. Amen. Book says he loved Rachel. Yeah. Leah done everything she could to gain his love But he loved Rachel. Yes, sir. Go on. You can read it right down to the fifth son. These, you say, preacher, why in the world did all that happen? I ain't going to get into all that. I ain't got time. Listen, there's things, my friend, that happens that I really don't have a clue why. Do you? Now, I'm not going to get into all this. The Bible says, you know that Jacob, his name was changed to Israel, and Israel was what? The father of the 12 patriarchs. 12 of them. Rachel, the first son that Rachel had was by the name of Joseph. You can get into all this. I ain't going to get into it. You say, preacher, I don't understand what you're talking about. It's what the book says. This is what the scripture says. I'm not going to get into all this, but I want you to know that Leah and Rachel both were good mothers.
Amen.
They were good mothers. You can read all you want to about them. You can find out about them. And they was the mother of the 12 patriarchs or the 12 tribes of Israel. You go on while Jacob was staying down at Laban's land and working for Laban, Jacob had some experiences, my friend, that changed his life.
Amen.
There's things that'll happen in your life if you'll just listen to the Father. That's what Jacob done.
Yeah.
Was it not? I'm going to say this, and you might think ill of me, but the truth of it is, I'll go back just a little bit. My friend Isaac knowed exactly what he was telling Jacob to do.
Yeah.
And he knowed that it was the right thing. You say, preacher, Esau, him and his wife, and they had children. They did. They had 12 princes too. If you'll read, you'll find. And Esau and the land of Edomite come out of Esau. And if you'll read through the scriptures, my friend, the Edomites always give the children of Israel problems. Always. Trouble. I'm going to be quite frank with you. The world will always give you trouble.
Amen.
Why, preacher? Because you don't belong to the world. You are what? You are the mother church. You are that Christ is the head of. Yes, sir. He said, you are now flesh of my flesh and bone of my bones. These things, my friend, you cannot get away from. When you become a Christian, brethren, you are part of the body. That body's still growing.
Amen.
Yes, it is. I'm glad it is. We've got a world full of harvest. Yes, we have. We've got a world full, my friend, of people that needs to be born again. They need to be presented that there is life, there is hope. Thank God, and there is grace for them.
Amen.
I heard a song the other day, and it made me think. It says something about happy Christians. The Christians are happy all the time. And I thought about that song.
Bless him, Lord.
I thought about that song. You know the first verse that I read you, do you know what it said? It said that we have a warfare. Mm-hmm. Now I'm going to tell you something. When you're in war, sometimes it ain't too pleasing. It just ain't too pleasing. Warfare. I wonder, my friend, we have the impression, brethren, that if you get saved, then you have no more troubles in this world. That ain't right. That ain't right. It don't work that way. I'm here to tell you, my friend, now, it does not matter what you face in this world, and you may have a mountain, brethren, ahead of you that you think you cannot climb. I'll guarantee you one thing, he'll help you climb it.
Amen.
He won't remove it, but he'll help you climb it.
Amen.
He'll bring a lot of them high places down.
Yes.
He'll bring a lot of them low places up. And he'll smooth a lot of them things out. But the truth of it is, he ain't going to smooth them out like you do. The husband must love his wife, cherish her, nourish her, and give his life for her. Preacher, I thought I loved. That's part of what I preached on Wednesday night. A lot of this world don't know really what love is.
Amen.
No, they don't. Did you know, I believe in all my heart, that Leah done everything she could to win the love of Jacob. But Jacob loved Rachel. Words plain about that. Very plain. I'm going to go just a little bit further and back up just a little bit. Or go forward a little bit. I'll get it right here in a minute. There's a man by the name of Elkanah. And Elkanah, in the days of Samuel, Elkanah had two wives. One was called Peninnah, and another one was called Hannah. And the scripture says that Peninnah had children. Now I'm going to be quite frank with you. Brethren, it was a shame in that day for a woman to be barren. Her womb closed up, couldn't have children. It was a shame. Peninnah had children, and Peninnah prodded and poked at Hannah all the time, continually. And Hannah come to the place that she had enough. She had enough. You may think, well, preacher, it's just the way it is. Well, it ain't altogether. Not all the time. There's things, my friend, in this day that I'm talking about, even in today. Brethren, if me and you as God's people would find our place and be the mother church that we ought to be, I'll promise you, God will help you on your journey. I thought about, and I preached on it one time, about Jacob's journey. You can go down through the years with him and see what he went through. Jacob, he went through a lot of things. But Hannah had enough. And she told her husband, said, I'm going to the house of God. She said, it's not the new moon. It's not time.
Yeah.
She said, you tell the service to saddle the ass. I'm a-going.
Yeah.
And she went. Brethren, her adversary had been on her so much, that she just had enough. She said, I'm going to take it to the Lord. She wasn't taking it to Eli. She wasn't just going down to the sanctuary, my friend, just to be going. I want you to know she had a sorrowful heart. She had a problem. She had a situation that she could not fix. But God could. Bible teaches us that Hannah went to the house of God and she prayed out of a sorrowful heart. What's she done? And Eli, being the priest, my friend, he is around and he heard. He heard her prayer.
Amen.
And he actually thought she is drunk. She is in a sorrowful way. And she told him, she said, I'm not drunk. Out of a heavy heart, out of a sorrowful heart am I crying and pleading. And she, Bible says that her lips moved, but not a word come out. Eli had no clue what the problem was. But brethren, God did.
Amen.
She told the Lord, she said, Lord, said, give me a male child. Give me a man child. And said, when he's old enough, I'll give him back to you. That's what she told him. She vowed that vow. The Bible says the Lord heard her cry.
Amen.
Now, I'm going to tell you something, folks. I believe the Lord can still hear a cry.
Amen.
I really do. You know what it's going to take? It's going to take exactly the song that you heard. It's going to take you surrendering all. There's a reason, my friend, that you can't keep your ducks in a row. Yes, they are. You say, preacher, it's Mother's Day. You ain't going to get on to it. I just want you to know, my friend, there's probably not one man in this house that couldn't be a better man if we'd just get right with God.
Amen.
Amen.
I'm going to say this. It's come. Jacob, I ain't going to get rid of him, I don't reckon. The Bible said that Jacob, before he left his father's land, he found him a place and he cried out to God. And the scripture teaches us that he saw a ladder reach up to heaven. Angels are going up and down on it. And he said, surely the Lord was in this place and I knew it not. You know what Jacob's prayer was? Jacob said, you go with me and bring me back again. And he said, I'll give a tenth unto thee. What he said.
Yeah.
Folks, I want you to know when he prayed that prayer, he had a staff in his hand. That was it. A staff in his hand. Lord, you just take care of me while I'm down there and bring me back. And the Bible says that he come back in two bands.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Had cattle, had sheep, had goats, had handmaidens, maid servants, did he not? And he had 12 sons, had 11 at that time.
Yeah.
I'll get it right.
Yeah.
11 at that time. But I want you to know that God and Jacob knowed who it was, brethren, that brought him back home.
Amen.
Yes, sir. He knowed. Folks, there's no doubt in my mind who's been in my life, brethren, since I was 15 years old.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God. He's brought me thus far. I don't believe, as the inspiration sang, that he's going to forget me just a few steps from home. Woo! I don't believe he will. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Listen to me. There's something to a man and a woman that has God in their life. The world can't compare. No, it can't. The world cannot compare. Hannah left the sanctuary of God. Went back home. The Bible says that Elkanah went in unto Hannah and she conceived by the Lord. Glory! I'm going to tell you something this morning. If husbands would get in their place, we'd have a lot of women getting in their place. It's Mother's Day. I know it is. I've raised children. I know what it was. Do you know that some of them get hurt around the house? They didn't want me fooling with them. I try. I go, well, let me see it. Let me look. No. I'm going to mom. Why is that? She is a mother. There's something about a mother. They most certainly is. Hannah, my friend, her adversary was on her every day because she was not a mother. That was her problem. God fixed it. When Samuel was born, they asked, what you gonna name him? Gonna name him Samuel, which means asked of God. Ain't that something? Ain't that something? Glory! If you've got children or had children and raised children, you ought to thank God, my friend, for the blessings he's give you. Listen. Hannah, Elkanah, he went, the Bible said he was faithful. He went every year to the sanctuary every year and took his sacrifices every year. Come around to Hannah and Hannah said, I'm not going. Samuel was young. She hadn't yet weaned him. And she wasn't going. But the day come. The day come that she went and took Samuel. And folks, she took provisions for him. She made him a coat. Bible says she made him one every year. But that year, my friend, she took him and left him.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
Left him. At the house of God. I've said this more than once, and I'll say it again here. Hannah wanted a son. God needed a man.
Amen.
Yes, sir. Needed a man. Preacher, he was too young. Wasn't too young for God.
Amen.
It didn't happen right away. But as is there in the process of time, one night, Brother Bruce, he laid down.
Yeah.
And he heard a voice. Did he not? Went to Eli, said, "You call me?" And he said, "I didn't call you." Now I'm going to say this. Samuel heard an audible voice.
Yeah.
And at that time, Samuel, all he knew was Eli. He didn't know about the Lord. Now ain't that something? Be raised in the house of God and not know about the Lord? Huh? Think about it. The Guardians has got a song out. I love it, but I love the testimony behind it. Man said he was raised in church. You listen to the song. Could quote John 3:16.
Yeah.
Noted all his life. Got out of school, went to college. Thought everything was fine until one day. He was raised in church, Robert.
Yeah.
You say, "Preacher, I've been to church all my life." It don't matter. There's coming a time, if you ain't already got there, there'll be a day you'll become lost.
Amen.
Undone. His testimony was, we went on, he said, God got to dealing with him. He said he found himself in an altar, crying out to God for salvation. In that song, my friend, it talks about, he said, he needed the kind that you get on your knees. Somebody, he said, and that somebody was me. I love it.
Yeah.
I really do. I love it. Wonderful song. And that somebody was me. Just because you was in the house of God don't mean that you know anything about God.
Amen.
You know the motions.
Amen.
You've heard the songs.
Bless him, Lord.
You've even felt the Spirit. But you have not come to the place that Spirit condemns your heart. When it does, you'll know you're in trouble.
Amen.
I want to tell you something.
Amen.
If you're at that point, I want you to know there's a remedy.
Yeah.
There's a remedy for you. I don't know the age. Mine was 15. My children, all three of them, got saved real early.
Yeah.
One of them right here, 1984.
Yeah.
The other two, one of them down Union Grove, got saved one night in revival.
Mm-hmm.
Then about a year or a few months after that, I was in a revival down at Oak Grove. And Josh got saved. We baptized them there at Zion Hill Baptist Church. I'm going to tell you something. God knows how to make a family. God knows how to repair a breach. Did you know you can live together and not know each other? What a shame. What a shame. Sometimes we make them divisions. Then we expect God to fix it. Now I'm going to tell you something. He's able. But I'm going to tell you where you're going to have to get. That you've heard it this morning, and I've done mentioned it several times. Brethren, you're going to have to surrender all. You're going to have to admit, folks, that you are wrong and you need help. Elkanah even told Hannah, said, am not I better to thee than 10 sons? But you know what? That didn't satisfy her. Huh? Because she had no son. It doesn't matter what the situation is. I don't know what your situation is. I don't know what you're looking for. I wondered. I listened to this man testify about this song, and that someone was me. And I just began to go with him, feel for him as he was growing up. What a sight. He knowed the scripture. He'd heard the songs. And no doubt had been in many a time. You got children running around here that sings on third Sunday. I'm going to tell you something. God dealing with them. You say, preacher, they're too young. I'm going to tell you something. God dealing with them.
Amen.
Well, preacher, I don't have the answer. Amen. Amen. Don't get to telling them what to do. Thank God. Just tell them to hold on. And when God gets them, they'll be got.
Amen.
Yes, sir. I never will forget when Dodie got under conviction. We'd been in revival. We'd go 3 or 4 or 5 weeks at a time sometimes. We'd gone every night. Listen, folks. My children went to school every day. Had one of them, my friend, not to miss a day in 12 years. Huh?
Amen.
We'd get in sometime midnight, little after, little bit before. Listen, don't tell me. Well, preacher, it wires them out. They young.
Yeah.
They vigil.
Yeah.
They got more stamina than you got.
That's true,
and the truth of it is, if it was in their mind, they'd do whatsoever they would till all hours of the night.
Yeah.
They'd do it, and you would too. Wouldn't you?
Bless him, Lord.
We have. But they come a day in Samuel's life that God spoke to him. He went to Eli the second time. He said, thou callest me. He said, I didn't call you. Go lay back down. He laid back down and Samuel. He come out of her. He went to Eli. This was the third time. And Eli, the Bible said, perceived. Eli perceived that God was talking to him.
Yeah.
We'd come home from revival one night and we was laying in bed there, and I always got up early, went to work early. Kathy punched me and she said, there's somebody in here. She had come just stand right at the bedside. What's the matter?
Yeah.
Can't sleep.
Yeah.
7 year old, yeah. Something like that. Can't sleep. What you gonna do? What do you feel like doing? What's the problem? Mm-hmm. I don't know, just can't sleep. We never did let the children sleep with us. Let them sleep in their own bed. But sometimes we say, you want to lay down right here? Listen, it didn't matter what we'd have told her.
Yeah.
It wouldn't have fixed it.
Yeah.
You can't fix it, my friend, when they're under conviction. I don't care if you get down here in the altar and pray right in their ear. Brethren, that won't save them.
Yeah. Amen.
It takes the Spirit of God, and the truth of it is, it's that Spirit of God, the reason they can't sleep.
Amen.
What do? Preacher, you pray for them.
Yeah.
And you keep carrying them. Keep carrying them to the well.
Yeah.
After a while, they'll learn that they need a drink.
Yeah.
Do you know that?
Amen.
Yes, sir. These things, my friend, that I wished I could tell you that it's just so simple.
Yeah.
It's just so simple to fix. But I'll tell you, it tears your heart up when one of them gets tore up and you can't fix it.
Bless him, Lord.
Yeah.
Amen.
After a while, they'll get it all figured out. You say, preacher, you think I ought to just wait? I think you'll just pray. And ask the Lord. He'll give you the answer. He'll give you what to do. He'll tell you how to make it. Y'all know the scripture. Eli told Samuel that the third time, he said, you go lay back down. And he said, when he calls this time, he said, you say, speak, Lord. For thy servant heareth.
Amen.
Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. And the Bible says that he done that and God began to speak unto Samuel. And he told him a lot of things.
Yeah.
A lot of things. I don't know to this morning. I really don't. I don't know what you need. Well, let me rephrase that. I do know what you need. You're just exactly like a lot of us was. Some of us was stubborn.
Bless him, Lord.
Some of us was bashful. And some of us just didn't want to go. And some of us thought we could just figure it out on our own. I'm going to tell you my experience, with men and women alike that just walked away and just ignored the Spirit, ignored the call, and my friend, they wound up in worse shape.
Yeah.
And they wound up with lives, my friend, just all out of sorts. And they can't get all the stuff gathered together. Why? Because they didn't listen to the Spirit. You know, it says, you can come get a verse of a song. That's as far as I feel like going. It says in the book of Revelation, when John wrote to the seven churches, at the end of every one, he said, let every man hear what the Spirit saith unto the church. Let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the church. You listen to that Spirit. It's real. It's real. It's something you can't get away from. It's something that'll go with you. It's something, my friend, that you leave here and you say, well, I ain't coming back. Then about midweek, you get to wondering and get to feeling guilty again, and you say, well, I might need to go back. And you find yourself in the same shape. And then you come that Sunday and you leave the house of God and you said, I ain't going back. I don't like how I feel. And I'll say this right here, it's a shame. But so many people today going to the house of God on how they feel. And the real truth of it is they have no inner peace. No inner peace. What do you mean, preacher? That inward man's suffering. That inward man is struggling. He's searching. And there ain't but one thing that'll satisfy him. And that's the Spirit of God. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he gave himself for. He gave himself for the church, for the body of whom we are if you've been born again. I hope you got something out of the message this morning. I know I've been here and yonder, can't keep it all together, can't help it. But the real, real truth of the whole matter is God loves you. And it's not his will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And we have that opportunity, and it's a great opportunity if we just use it. If God's dealing with you, if he's dealing with that heart, it'd be a good day to get saved. Let us stand.